Neil Razor Ruddock, who joins me on the phone this morning. Morning, Razor.
How we doing?
Oh, very good indeed. Good to speak to you, man. Once was finest. Is that a fair comment?
I prefer South London.
Oh, bigger. Right. Okay. Fair enough then, yeah. How does life find you at the moment, mate? What is the weather nice down your part of the world at the moment? Are you out walking? What are you up to?
Well, I wouldn't say walking. No, it's like I live in Kent now, so I mean...
Growing up, I mean, football, was it always, yeah. You know, from a very early age, was it always going to be the pigskin for you then, was it, Neil?
I think I've got two big brothers, so I mean, you're always influenced by your elders, so I just can remember, you know, we used to live in council flats, we had a square in the middle, and I just remember, you know, playing football, you know. That's the earliest memories, and playing with bigger brothers, I always played with bigger kids, so, you know, by the time I was sort of 15, 16, 17, I was growing into a man then, because I'm used to, you know, getting kicked and, you know, not allowed to cry, not allowed to show anyone I was hurt. So, you know, I think that was a big plus for me in here, but that's all I can remember being a footballer.
And did you get spotted? Because, I mean, these days, I mean, listen, I ain't no expert in the subject, but you almost get the impression that the way footballers are discovered, they discovered it at a ludicrously early age these days, but it's almost like a business transaction. You know, it's like a commodity. It's not like how it used to be. You know, it's not like the old bloke who turns up in a flat cap and saying, with a woodbine.
I get dads coming up to me now saying, oh, my boy's going to be a footballer. I say, how old is he? He goes, 7. Do you know what I mean? It's just ludicrous. When I was growing up, 12, I think 12 was the youngest age you could get spotted. You know, I was playing for sort of London, then I moved to Kent. I was playing for Kent, so I got picked up by Millwall when I was 12. And, you know, the rest of history in Tottenham bought me when I was 17, 18. So it all went from there. But, you know, I think it's sad that, you know, kids are at 7, you know, they're not allowed to play with their mates anymore. People ask me now, my boy wants to play for this and that. Just, as long as you're smiling up, you let them play anywhere. Every kid will find their level and then eventually, you know, do as good as they can or they'll give up and go to something else. But, you know, you'll find your level eventually.
Yeah. See, one of the things that always gets me about the football arena is... You know, what it must be like. I suppose it's very difficult to put it into words because, you know, if you're playing at Wembley or something like that, or one of the big stadia, you know, there's 100,000 people, whatever it is, 80, 90,000 people, you walk out. I can't even begin to comprehend what that must be like. How do you deal with that? I mean,
For me, it was all I knew. You know, you're thrust into that situation. I could play in front of 80,000 people. If I didn't know anyone in the stadium, I'd be fine. If two of my friends were there, I'm thinking, oh, no, my friends are here. You know, then you're thinking about your first touch. I've got to play well. If I have a bad game, make a mistake, they're going to go back to the pub and tell all the other lads. So I was nervous. If I didn't know anyone, it didn't bother me. But if there was like one or two people I knew in there, your mum and dad and your brothers or whatever, you know, you think, oh, no, people come here to watch me, I've got to play well.
See, the thing is, though, I mean, obviously, when you think about when you were playing, not that long ago, really, you know, but the world of sport completely has changed totally in the way that, like, almost these kind of, it's like, have you ever seen, is it Rocky IV? Ivan Drago. Yeah. It's almost as if they're producing that kind of person now where they are. That's your only purpose is that you're going to be a sports person. And back in the day, from your point of view, I would have thought much more of we're playing football, but we're having a laugh as well, a couple of beers and all that.
In my day, we used to go out with the fans after as well. I think there's no relationship between footballers and fans anymore. You know, you can't even approach them to have a photo or get an autograph. You know, when we finished the game, we was down the local pub, we used to drink with the fans. I mean, that was a relationship we had, you know. But I think the way it's changed is, you know, when I was a kid, when growing up through football, even at the end of my career, you know, there was film stars, pop stars, and then it was footballers. Now it's footballers, film stars, and pop stars. They're the number one now. I mean, they're on telly every day. I mean, they can't walk down the streets because I think it's just the volume of publicity or the way they are on TV and radios and papers. Everybody knows their faces. You know, they can't walk down the streets like we could could do, you know. I wouldn't like that side, but I'd like the 300 grand a week side. I think that's a big help.
Yeah, absolutely, and I can well believe it.
If I was on that, I wouldn't be speaking to you now, because I'd be in an island somewhere. I'd own my own island, wouldn't I? We'll be mates.
Well, you can't comprehend the eye-washing figures, really. Well, I've got to ask you briefly about a minute when you came up to this part of the world where we're broadcasting from. How did that deal come about? Who brokered that for you to be to Anfield?
Well, I had Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, Glasgow Rangers, Newcastle, Blackburn when Kenny was there, and obviously Liverpool. I decided to speak to everybody. I met Kenny at Blackburn on the Monday, Tuesday. I met Graham Souness at Anfield. He walked me onto the middle of the pitch. He went, "Can you imagine playing here?" I went, "Yeah." Let's talk to everyone else. This is what it's all about. But,
yeah.
You know, and I spoke to Jimmy Case, who used to be an ex-Liverpool player. I think won a couple of European Cups, FA Cups, the leagues. He was my captain at Southampton. And I asked him, and he said, "Razor, they'll love you." And it's, you know, we get on. I think the Scousers and Cockneys get on. I mean, Scousers, and we got the same sense of humour, so there was no problem sort of moving up there. I lived in Formby, had 6 years there.
Yeah,
and absolutely loved it there, and I still go back there. Some of my best friends are still up there, so I love that. And I love the Scouts there to you. I'm a bit of a silly sausage myself, so we get on fine.
Yeah, but I think the connection's probably going to be in it. There's a perception they go to London, that's where all the money's at. But at the heart of what London actually is a very working class community, and that.
Oh yeah,
and that
connection. I grew up in the city and ended up living in Formby. I lived on the beach there. I mean, it was tremendous. You had the woods there and the pine woods and. You know, you have some great pubs as well. Got to say that. You know, I mean, Southend. Southport was rocking at the time as well. So, you know, I have had great memories, and honestly, to play at Anfield in front of that, you know, that crowd, and you know, I mean, everywhere I go, I play for Tottenham, you know, West Ham, you know, all these other teams. I play for Southampton, all Premier League teams, and everywhere I go in the world, people say I used to play for Liverpool. You know, that's the first thing that people say. So, you know, that's the size of the club.
When it comes to, you know, the hanging up your boots and that, then, mate, I mean, was it one of those things that you thought to yourself, look, you know, that this time's coming, I'm gonna have to knock it on the head, or did you get kind of forced into it? What was the situation for you?
To be fair, I couldn't wait.
Couldn't you?
The legs, you know, I was struggling with my weight, and my legs were hurting, all my joints were hurting, which they still do now, you know, and as I say, yeah, I was retired and took up golf, but after a month of retirement, I missed it. I think you miss most is the dressing room. You miss the lads. You know, I'm going to work, you know, from school to 35. I'm going to work with 30 lads every day, and the laugh and the things you know you get up to is tremendous. You know, that's what you miss. But as I say, I was lucky enough, after about 3 months, I landed on a couple of TV shows, and it went from there.
Yeah. Who were the real characters back in the day? Who you thought, hang on a sec, such and such a geezer's out here, I'm in trouble for his, I'm going to get him bothered. Yeah. Who was the worst ones?
Well, in the dressing room, they all gang up. If someone makes a mistake, you've got 29 other lads ganging up on you, you know. And so it's, they're all funny. I mean, my friends from the Liverpool time, they're all like little Robbie Fowler and sort of Jamie Redknapp. But then you had like Jan Mulby, Rushy, Barnsley, David James, you know what I mean? Steve Mack. I mean, you couldn't get away with anything up there, especially the Scouts' humour as well. You know what I mean? they were ruthless, a lot of them. So you used to make sure, you know, you didn't say, before you said anything, you thought about it. Yeah. One of them, you know. And otherwise, some of the, you know, they put super glue in your car keys and you won't be able to get anything about it.
So you mentioned there about a couple of television shows. How did it come about that? Because, I mean, obviously, at heart, you're a sportsman, and the next minute, somebody's saying it'd probably be good to go send you into a jungle eating things that you wouldn't ordinarily chew up.
Well, yeah, well, you know, the jungle, you know, people say, you know, you're not scared, intimidated to go into the jungle, it's going to be, you know, horrible. Well, you know, I said, my thought process was, listen, I used to play against Duncan Ferguson. There's nothing in the jungle that's going to scare me as much as him. You know what I mean? Nothing in the jungle can hurt me as much as Duncan Ferguson did. So, you know, it was a breeze.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, did you, when you did that, did you get a bit of a bug for this? And you thought, I quite like this telly lark.
I like the way, is that a pun there? A bit of a bug for that? Yeah,
I didn't realise it.
Obviously, you planned that, didn't you? All night you've been working on that.
That's me lying.
Let me tell you, it worked. Well done, you.
That's me lying. It gets the interview will piece it out now.
No, I mean, it just landed on my feet. I got, you know, someone rung me up, would I fancy it, you know, and of course, how much am I getting, you know, well, It was great. I mean, the sort of time out there, and you think you go out there the jungle when it, you see it on telly, when it gets dark, the noises you hear. Oh my! Honestly,
and we're not talking about.
You can hear monkeys. They ain't got no monkeys in Australia, but you can hear them. That's scary.
I bet you there's a few bodily noises that you heard there, but we won't.
You don't get enough food. No, you don't. Honestly, you get like half a potato, a piece of carrot, and a lump of meat. I mean, it is tough. I mean, it's great viewing. I mean, it is tough. It's one of those things. Yeah. I'm so glad that I did experience that. It was great.
Well, you know what I mean? This is the thing. I mean, you are a man who's experienced an awful lot throughout your life and what have you. And I know that you're kind of calling on a lot of that experience because we are dealing with a mental health epidemic in this country. People having to struggle with, you've only got to look at the cost of living and all of this nonsense that's going on at the moment. Yeah. And some people have got no light at the end of the tunnel. Is it one of those things that perhaps maybe as you've got a little bit older, that you thought, you know, if there's one thing that you can look after your body, but you've got to get your mind right. How does that work with you, mate?
Oh, I've had massive problems. You know, when I finished football, it was, you know, the buzz. I missed the buzz and, you know, ended up, I went to rehab, over drinking. I've been in rehab twice, but you know, that's past me now. But, you know, I'm just one of them. I look at myself now, and, you know, it's only me that can control things that how I'm feeling, how I react, you know, what I do, you know. But I was one of them that always had the ump about things in the past. You know, the past is gone. It's history. There's nothing you can do about it. Then you go on to think about things that hasn't happened yet, things in the future that hasn't happened. So how can you worry about things that hasn't happened? So, you know, you live the here and now. Every time I look at my watch, I smile because it's the here and now. Make yourself smile. As I say, you're the only person that can get through it. I'm in a much better place. But saying that, experience is wasted on us old people. You know what I'm saying? If I had the experience, I knew the now, and I was so headstrong back then, you know, I maybe wouldn't have ended up in rehab and gone through that. But going through bad things, good things always come out of it. So, I mean, as I say, just live the life now, the here and now. Every time you look at your watch, have a smile because you're living life now.
Yeah. What does a typical day look like for you these days then, Razor?
Well, Bargain Hunt comes on at 12:15 every day. In fact, there's a comedian called Gary Marshall. I do a lot of after dinner speaking. And there's a comedian called Gary Marshall, a very funny man from Doncaster. And every day we FaceTime each other watching Bargain Hunt. He's red one day, I'm blue the next day. And whoever wins, and I'm 13-11 up this series.
Oh, right, okay.
So we'll be watching it, and I'll have the reds, and the reds will be buying a teapot. And I'm going, don't buy the teapot! He'll go, buy that teapot. So, I mean, that's how silly you get in your 50s, isn't you? I'm playing Bargain Hunt. My wife walks in every day and says, you two need locking up.
Is that not a program?
Well, I'm on the after dinner circuit, so you know, I work around it all, go around the world. I was in Canada recently doing it, and I've been to, you know, Azerbaijan. I met my wife in Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy life, but yes, I'm enjoying it. And, smiling on my face, but I'm experienced now, and if problems happen, I just get on with it now.
Well, it'd be wrong if I didn't ask you for a little bit of punditry at the moment, because it's a tale of two cities up here at the moment, because you've got...
Well, the way Liverpool play, it won't be long, will it? They're both in the same.
Hey, have you got any thoughts as to what seems to be going wrong at the moment?
I think, you know, I'm one of them. You always got to look at the other team as well. I think other teams have improved and Liverpool has stood still. You know, Everton have stood still. Look, Everton stood still for the last 4 years and everyone's improved and you're going to get caught up. So you've got to give a bit of credit to the other teams. You know, I think Everton are good enough. I think there's worse teams than Everton. I think Dicey's gone in there. If anyone's going to sort them out, Dicey will. You know, Everton have... I've got a problem with the fans at the minute, but on the pitch, if they go, you know, whatever's happening outside the pitch, you know, do what you want to do as a fan. But Everton fans, you know, when them players are out there, you get behind your players, because if you boo your players, you've got no chance. So I think Everton fans understand that now. Support your team, they do well. The Liverpool situation is, I think he's got too many players now and he's got too many choices. Mm. And, you know, and he's battling against himself, which is the best team, which ain't the best team. And I think other teams always play their team because they haven't got the choices Liverpool have got, you know what I'm saying? So you've got to give credit to the other teams. You know, I think he needs some good new players. He's lost a couple of strikers through injury, and I think the players he's brought in ain't as good enough. They lost Mane. I think that disrupted the system. Mane and Robertson down the left-hand side were unbelievable. And the other side were great. So I just think he's upset his team. He's got too many players. He doesn't know what to do with them in a minute. Yeah. But there's me telling Jurgen Klopp what to do. But that's my opinion. But saving Klopp. Klopp's the best person in the world to take him forward. So. But yeah. I just think you've got to look at the other teams.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always, you ain't got the God-given right to go out and win every game. So I think you've got to look at other teams. They're improving and Liverpool and having a standing still.
Yeah. Listen, mate, it's been brilliant speaking to you. I won't hang on too long because you've got to watch Bargain. In fact, I've got an old clock, bird. If you can give us a price on it, mate, give us a valuation.
What is it?
Well, I don't know, it's just an old clock.
Yeah, 30 bob.
Sounds good to me. Well, listen, who knows? I look forward to seeing you and your mates on that programme. I think that would probably make for an interesting watch, that.
Oh, it'd be beautiful. It'd
good
be
stuff. Ray, it's great to speak to you, mate. Have a wonderful day.
Hey. Good luck to Everton, good luck to Liverpool.
Cheers, pal. Take it easy, mate.
Bye bye.
There you go, Neil Razor Ruddock speaking to us here on Liverpool Live. What a funny guy, very jovial outlook on life and what have you. The man has had his challenges, but he's overcome that, doing a tremendous job there. Bargain on, say. I have been known to watch it now and again. Or even Dickinson's real deal. Blimey, that must be a sign that you're in your 50s, mustn't it?